The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This is Jonathan Strickland from Tech Stuff. We all can't help but wonder what adventure lies just over the next ridge. A Nissan Rogue, Nissan Pathfinder, or Nissan Armada will take you there. If you're taking on your adventure in a new 2024 Nissan Rogue, class-exclusive Google built-in is your always-updating assistant to call on for almost anything. Google Assistant, Google Maps, and Google Play Store are built right into the 12.3-inch HD touchscreen infotainment system of the 2024 Nissan Rogue. Nissan's SUV has the capabilities to take you where you want to go. Learn more at NissanUSA.com.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Steph on Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And today we are, I'm not going to say cheating, but we're kind of doing a lighter feminist movie Friday / Wednesday, probably Wednesday at this point, which we talked about in previous episodes, where we're just going to have a fun, light conversation about movies or media that personally made us question if maybe we were gay. Along with some popular internet examples. So we're not focusing on any one movie this time. I would love if listeners wrote in and contributed to this because I saw when I was researching this, some of them just tickled me so much. It was so specific. I loved it. I have some that are pretty funny.
Yeah. The tickle me. Wow. That threw me off. That's my mother's phrase. I've not heard you say that ever. That
you know,
just tickled
I'm
getting, that just I'm, tickles me.
I'm getting older.
I liked it.
Yes. So I know you've heard us talk about it. We have had a really busy couple of weeks. I'm still pretty exhausted, to be honest, with recording this audiobook and continuing to put out all of our episodes and things like that. So this is going to be a bit of a lighter one, but we do try to, as much as we like to highlight months like this, we do try to highlight stuff like this throughout the year. So if you're like, oh, you're not actually doing a queer movie, what? We try to do them through all of our other...
Just recently did the trans movie. Like, it's a constant. Right. We want to celebrate it all year long.
Right.
That's never going to hold us down. But also, we want to talk about some of the movies that we love that we might not be watching.
Right. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I think this is going to be really fun. I do have a couple of disclaimers at the top. One being, you can find someone of the opposite sex or any gender identity attractive and not be gay. Like, that's totally a thing. Who you are attracted to also doesn't necessarily indicate how you actually identify. Like, I am ace or perhaps gray sexual, but I would say asexual and biromantic. So even though I'm attracted to people of all types, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm bisexual, though I did identify that way for a while. And it doesn't mean it won't change in the future. So, and yeah, we were talking about this at a hangout we had, and it was fun. And so we thought we would just share it. But yes, we're not, I think most of the things we're going to talk about are not things that have explicitly queer storylines. Some of them are kind of queer baity, but we did want to talk about some of the surprise ones too that maybe you wouldn't necessarily think of.
I think that's the majority of my movies that I picked out technically. They're not really queer baity. It just happens to be this very role that they play. And I was like, what?
Well, that's kind of what I love about it. That's what I think is so interesting. So before we get into our examples, and I guess we can kind of go back and forth, I wanted to give some popular internet examples, plus ones that just made me laugh. Usually it has to do with being attracted to both the male and female leads. Like, that's sort of the vibe that a lot of people were putting down for this. One of the big ones, when I read it, I was like, oh, of course, was Cruel Intentions.
Yeah. That felt queer baity to me, though, for sure.
It probably was. I actually didn't see that movie until I was quite older, like within the last 5 years, maybe.
It wasn't, I guess, because the queer baity is specific to like pandering. They weren't necessarily pandering, but I feel like it was for shock value. Mm, is that still queer baity?
Well, there's a lot of contention around that. It can be, for sure. It was. It definitely did have that shock value to it of like, ooh, look at how, quote, depraved she is.
And it was definitely like in the male gaze. Like, still, people who were like, oh, what? It was still sexual, for sure, but it was definitely more towards the male gaze.
Right, right. And peek behind the curtain, we are reading Genderqueer for the book club pick this month, and I read it last night, and it talked a lot about what we're talking about in here. And also, I was researching the character Willow, who's our upcoming fictional women around the world. And one of the things, we're going to talk about all the issues going on with that, but one of the things that made her very groundbreaking was it wasn't done for shock value. It wasn't done for like, oh, look how sexual they are. Whereas this felt very much
just like the way you're saying this.
Sure. Sarah Michelle Gellar in both of these. But it was like Sarah Michelle Gellar kind of, what's the word for that? Ruining like an innocent person. It did have that vibe. But I remember it being like, ooh.
Yes. For sure.
Yes. So I totally get that. I totally get that example. Another one that came up that surprised me, but then when I was reading people's reasoning, was The Mummy.
Was surprising to you?
Yes.
How is that surprising to you? Like, I sent you the whole, there's a whole meme going around, like, and it shows each picture and everything's like, yes, no wonder I was so confused between, like, each character. Yeah. There's four amazing, you're like, five, I think, amazing characters that you just kind of sit there and stare at, and you're like, what is this?
What's going on here? And
I will say Rachel Weisz was also on my list for another movie.
Yes. She's on one of... No, she's not. I took it off. But yeah, no, I get that. No, but we have done The Mummy for a fictional movie Friday.
Yes.
And we did talk about how one of the reasons we chose it for that movie was there was a blog post about how they were kind of in opposite gender roles almost. Like, he was a very supportive kind of holding her up, and she was very assertive in all of these ways. So I thought that was interesting. Another one that surprised me, and then when I thought about it, I was like, oh yeah, I should probably re-examine this. Empire Strikes Back.
I thought you had already stated that.
I did, but not when I was a kid. I don't think it ever occurred to me that because most people said it was because they were attracted to Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher, Han Solo and Princess Leia. I was attracted to Luke. I loved Leia.
But wasn't in love.
Right, but I don't think it occurred to me that it could be because it was such a young age.
Right.
And then when I got older, I was like, oh no, like if I had a chance with Leia, which I wouldn't because she's too good for me, but if I did, I would be all about it. So it's now that I think about it, that was probably always there. I just didn't believe that it was an option or a thing.
Right. That makes sense.
Another one that we've talked about, Jennifer's Body. Jennifer's Body.
I think we've already talked about that because we talked about this movie and what it was supposed to be, satire in itself. But like, yeah, it did feel queer baity, but it was supposed to as a commentary, right? That's what we've decided.
Right. And it was because it was shot with mostly women kind of controlling like the angle, and it was women in it, and it was kind of their friendship, but also they were, you know, adolescents who were figuring things out, as they say. I totally get that one too. I totally get that one too. This one cracked me up. Matilda. Matilda?
And is it because of the honey? Like
Miss Honey. Honey?
Okay.
And there's a specific scene where Miss Honey, like, everyone kept using the gif where she, like, brings her glasses down. And it made me laugh so hard. I'm so happy.
Yeah, completely didn't think about that one.
No, I didn't either. And I don't think this was what they were saying at all, but it did make me start thinking about how that sort of trope of older women who live alone must be lesbians. I don't think that's what they were saying at all, but it just kind of made me think about it.
Have you ever seen Mansfield Park?
I have not.
Because the woman who plays Mrs. Honey is in Mansfield Park with Johnny Lee Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just see if I can read off the cast. Because if you, like, I love this movie, and it's the most ridiculous movie because it's an awful telling of Mansfield Park. They took a lot of liberties. But it had her, Frances O'Connor, who she's been in several other things, King's Speech, several other things, as well as Alessandro Nivola. I think I'm saying his name right. And he's another big, I think he's an English actor. I forgot what movie. But the four of them are probably the four most attractive people. And I say that as, like, the entirety of that cast. So I'm like, now I'm thinking about her relaying it to that movie. I'm like, they're actually really attractive. Oh, maybe that could have been one of my lists. Because I loved that movie.
Okay.
I'm going to have to make you watch it.
Yeah. I'm into it.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This is Jonathan Strickland from Tech Stuff. A spirit of adventure lives inside of us. Nissan's SUVs have the capabilities to transform your spirit of adventure into actual rubber meets the road into the wild, true blue, real life adventure. You just need a Nissan and a plan. Or better yet, just a Nissan. You can hop into a Nissan Rogue and discover what comes next. Don't worry, the Nissan Rogue has your back. Class-exclusive Google built-in is your always updating assistant to call on for almost anything. Just climb in and go. No need to connect your phone. Google Assistant, Google Maps, and Google Play Store are built right into the 12.3-inch HD touchscreen infotainment system of the new 2024 Nissan Rogue. No matter where you roam, you'll stay connected to home. Life is one huge adventure, and every day is a little one. No matter if the ride you're on is big or small, a Nissan Rogue, Nissan Pathfinder, or Nissan Armada can elevate your adventure and push your limits to something new. Your next adventure is waiting for you. Get in a Nissan SUV and go. Learn more at NissanUSA.com.
Another movie, I haven't seen this, Fried Green Tomatoes.
You've never seen Fried... I think we have to remedy that soon.
Another to the list. Another to the list.
Because I could see that. There's so much to this, like, because, you know, I love women's friendships. Love, yes. love women's friendships and anything. And I loved their friendships so much that to the point, like, because their relationships with men were so awful that you do want them to be with each other forever and ever and ever and ever.
Right.
And men are not portrayed well in this movie, and rightly so. I'm okay with it. But wanting them to be together makes sense. Yeah. And there is like conversation of like, if you look, I think the actual book may have leaned towards it, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. I think the actual book does lean to that fact that they're in love with each other. But of course, the movie didn't. So that makes more sense.
Yeah, that's, I found a whole essay about it. And they were talking about like, you know, they didn't say it in the movie, but they are queer.
Yeah. And it's yes. great. The portrayal is beautiful.
Okay. All right. Add it to the list.
We have to, that might be a next month movie because we need to watch that movie.
Okay. I'm into that too.
For Wanda. For Wanda.
It relates to something else that I'm going to talk about in a lot of my picks. But we also talked about in things like Practical Magic of that idea of, you know, this friendship between women and kind of growing older together. And a lot of people, rightly or wrongly, assuming or thinking like, oh, they must be
just be together instead of being. But that's like we talked about platonic marriages before.
We did.
And like it makes sense. I've been talking about this recently. And you and I have talked about it too, just like in general, like not having the fear of being single, that's not a thing. And knowing that we'll be okay, we'll survive. I think part of that is knowing that I have good friends like yourself and Caroline, me, Caroline and myself are both in relationships, the majority of people are. But if we're not, we'll always be there for each other. Like it doesn't matter if things go right or wrong, however you want to see it, because, and that feels so secure that it makes everything else feel easier. Like, I would rather be single with my friends who have all kind of come into this mindset
right.
than miserable in a relationship where I'm isolated from my friends.
Right. But I agree. That's
that kind of level of, like, seeing that, it's no longer sad that you don't have the perfect right. marriage or whatever, whatnot.
Right. And I also...
idealistic.
I do think that... there are a couple of things going on here, and one of them is something I want to come back and talk about in a happy hour. I mentioned it recently, but platonic love can be so beautiful. Like, the love between friendships can be so beautiful, like, more beautiful than romantic love. But I think because so much of our media frames romantic love as the end-all, be-all, this is the best thing you can achieve, and on top of that, we don't see a lot of queer storylines that a lot of people, myself included, I've done it, do this, where we're like, maybe they're queer. Maybe this is like the representation I've been waiting for.
Yeah.
Where like platonic love should be just as respected and celebrated. But
right.
it's because we don't have those queer storylines. I totally get it too. But as I've been writing fan fiction, I've noticed I do it, even though I don't believe it. But it feels like a relationship isn't as important or dramatic unless it's romantic. Which is not true. I want to be 100,000% clear here. It's not
right.
true.
And in real life, we don't want that drama.
Exactly. Exactly. I get why it makes for a good storyline. Like, as I'm
right.
writing it, but
right.
it does, like...
K-dramas. I've seen that. Because like, I get so mad. Like, this is the dumbest thing. You shouldn't go for this dude. He's awful. Why are you doing this? I've been yelling at this TV more recently and getting very upset at the lead. I'm like, this is awful. What are you doing? And then like knowing that if they resolved it the way I wanted to, it would no longer be, it would be the end of the show.
Right.
But still.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally get it. And now it cracks me up that you're yelling at the TV. That's funny.
Yeah, I'm that person now.
Yes. Yes. So... I guess we should break into our examples, starting with yours, the one that kind of began this whole thing.
The whole conversation, because you said that. You brought up, you're like, I'm interested in, you know, the movies that made you go, wait. And the one movie, which ended up getting mansplained to us. Anyway. was Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Because for some reason... I watched this as a kid, and I know, like, I think all of us had a moment of, like, that is petrifying. Christopher Lloyd's character is the most petrifying villain I've ever met in my life. I don't understand how a cartoon got that freakishly frightening so quickly. The appearance of Jessica Rabbit singing Why Don't You Do Right? It's a damn cartoon. And I was like, what what is happening? And obviously, everything about that character is in the male gaze. It is definitely all very sexualized. She is a sexualized character. However, there was something to that performance that I was like, well, damn. And I say that with my full chest because I love that movie. It's probably, I haven't watched it in years. I feel like we should do a rewatch. Maybe, like, I need to do this as an episode just for being funny. Like, maybe a not being a feminist movie. Because it's not a feminist movie. There's nothing about that is a feminist movie. Everything is about, like, being villainized, essentially. And then, you know, cartoons. But... But I did. I had that moment with, like, watching that performance and loving that song, loving that rendition of that song, and having to, not only did I want to be her, but yes, I wanted to stand next to her. Like, that's the best explanation I had.
That's interesting because that movie scared me so bad as a kid. I haven't seen it since. I was very young and I was like, and I can't even tell you why. I just remember being scared.
the high pitch, yeah, it was scary.
I would love to revisit it. I think we could have like a not feminist movie Friday.
Unfeminist movie Friday. Because
I want to talk about the Super Mario Brothers.
We have also so many random movies that, like, we just want to make each other suffer, I feel like. Or make ourselves suffer.
There's a part of it, but there's a joy in sharing the suffering. There is. And I think there's a lot to talk about there. I definitely have felt attraction to cartoon characters, so no judgment there. And I know people who, Jessica Rabbit, you're not alone. You're not alone.
I'm glad to know. It's so vivid to me, that scene. Everything about that scene.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what?
Yes.
But yes, we did get a whole, like, 10-minute mansplain about how that movie was one of the most incredibly expensive movies and all these things. You were there with me, Annie. Why are you looking like you're surprised?
I think I was over. I told you my ears got worse.
That's true. It was very
overwhelmed.
Loud.
I was getting caught in like 15 different conversations.
Yeah.
But, so I caught parts of it, but I was like,
I just sat there and stared at it, and I was like, I don't care.
To be fair, that is something I would do if I had the right amount of alcohol. I would tell you about, you know, in Empire Strikes Back. So I can't judge too hard.
Oh, I judge.
Yeah. Keep going. Well, so for me, I'm going to kind of cheat and combine some because I have more than you, but also I've talked about some of these before. X-Files.
Yeah.
That is probably my first clear memory. I don't think it's the first time, but it's my first clear memory of being like, what's going on here? Because I'm attracted to her and him. Oh, no. And one thing I want to bring up, and I know we're going to talk about this more in our book club, but you recently on Sex and the City, you asked me, like, what is your type? And I was like, I have such a specific type. It's hilarious. And the more that I thought about it, and after I read that book, I was like, it's kind of, for me, it's very specifically in, it's effeminate men. It's men who are pretty.
Oh.
But it's also people, it's people who are like they're not quite in their very traditional stereotypical gender roles. They're kind of like more masculine women or more feminine men.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it is. And I wouldn't say Mulder was a feminine at all, but he did have kind of my look. But she was a very kind of masculine, even though she's beautiful and a pretty traditional feminine way, but she had a really masculine vibe about her.
I wonder if it's masculine, more so like just non-binary, because I don't think she was either.
No, honestly, exactly.
X-Files. And then we just want to call it masculine because it wasn't so feminine.
Right.
So
no,
I feel
agree.
Like she was non-binary more so than anything else.
I agree. And that is a good point. And that is what part of the book club will be about. But yeah, it's sort of more like in
she's
that
in
space.
Between. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And so I think that for me was a big, that was the one I was sitting in my room in seventh grade and I was like, oh. <Uh-oh. Whoops. laughs> But now, after I did this research for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I forgot I had a crush on Seth Green's character, Oz.
Oh,
and
I loved
Willow.
I loved Seth Green. I love redheads, though.
Yeah. Well, they're both redheaded in that. Yeah.
Michael Rapaport, which he is a hilarious person, but I had a huge crush on him, too. And mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever met anyone who would say that.
That's always a fun exercise. I might be the only person who had a huge crush on this person.
But yeah, Seth Green, his nerdiness.
Yes. Yes, I had a huge crush on him. He's the reason I went to see Austin Powers.
Like, oh, no.
Yeah, poor old me who doesn't get these jokes and made my parents come. And they're like, oh, my God.
So embarrassed.
It wasn't good. But yeah, I'm definitely like looks are a big part of it, but they come second to me. It's mm-hmm. like I have to like the person. Usually I have to like the personality first. And then I'm like, oh, they're so attractive. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it goes the other way, but usually, and I feel like I never really can. I remembered Seth Green very clearly, but Willow, I did kind of have a crush on too.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started dating Tara, and we're going to talk about that in the Fictional Women episode, but I was like, ooh. I haven't seen this before. Like, honestly, legitimately, I've not seen it before.
Yeah, it was very cute, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't two, like, really hot women.
Yeah.
But they were both cute. It was different.
It was sweet.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess mine was, I talked about this because it's probably one of the worst movies, I mean, in existence. I'm not going to lie. Like, the script is real bad. The ending is real bad. Adam Sandler is real bad. But it's Spanglish.
Huh?
It's Paz Vega. It was only her who actually is in the Netflix series Kaleidoscope, which I loved that show. It was really fun to watch. I loved Paz Vega. I don't know what it was, but I was just like, holy crap. So it is like for me on this note was I think most of these things. Now, then my last movie is not, but most of the rest of them are like just the women and like mm-hmm. they're like. I don't know if it's like maybe their overall overt sexuality, but it wasn't sexual. Of course, Jessica Rabbit, yes, it was sexual. But like for Paz Vega, her character was a mother and she's trying to comfort people and she's just kind and compassionate and all these things. But there was something about her character that was just confidently sexual without being overly sexual. I don't know what it was, but I loved that movie. It's such a bad movie. Taya Leone was a great actress, and she did an amazing job. But she was created to not be liked,
right?
And I hate that for her.
Yeah,
and she played it too well. And then Adam Sandler's just there. But I loved watching Paz Vega, and was a huge fan. And I know she was doing. She did Sex and Lucia. Which won a lot of awards. Like, she was, that was her big movie beforehand. But, like, I don't know. She's just such a confident woman that it just, her and Padma Lakshmi, like, to me, they're on that same level that I'm just like, again, I want to stand with you and I want to be you. How do I do this?
It's interesting.
This whole, like, man, how do I become more like you? But also, can I be with you here? Thank you.
Right. Right. I remember Padma Lakshmi was on your list of like dream guests.
Yes.
I thought.
And we got rejected. I'm like, it's probably a good thing because I think I would just pass out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I understand. I have my guests like that as well. But it was just funny. Like, I don't know how that interview is going to go.
I would just pass out. Because I already get nervous for people I'm not nervous around.
I know.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring.
With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This is Jonathan Strickland from TechStuff. A spirit of adventure lives inside of us. Nissan's SUVs have the capabilities to transform your spirit of adventure into actual rubber meets the road into the wild, true blue, real life adventure. You just need a Nissan and a plan. Or better yet, just a Nissan. You can hop into a Nissan Rogue and discover what comes next. Don't worry, the Nissan Rogue has your back. Class-exclusive Google built-in is your always-updating assistant to call on for almost anything. Just climb in and go. No need to connect your phone. Google Assistant, Google Maps, and Google Play Store are built right into the 12.3-inch HD touchscreen infotainment system of the new 2024 Nissan Rogue. No matter where you roam, you'll stay connected to home. Life is one huge adventure, and every day is a little one. No matter if the ride you're on is big or small, a Nissan Rogue, Nissan Pathfinder, or Nissan Armada can elevate your adventure and push your limits to something new. Your next adventure is waiting for you. Get in a Nissan SUV and go. Learn more at NissanUSA.com.
Well, my next one is not a movie. It is a video game. Final Fantasy VII. And this is one of my favorite video games of all time. The part I'm talking about specifically is pretty problematic, but I'll talk about that more in a second. So the plotline is way too confusing to break down here. But you're a crew of people and you're going to save the world. And I had a crush on the main character, Cloud. Mostly because he was sad in the right way of sad that I liked at the time. Maybe be like, oh, I can take care of you, which is not healthy, I know. But it was kind of like that vibe. I was like, oh, he's so tragic, let me help you.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's a whole plot point in the game where you have to... Cloud, who's a male character, has to dress up as a woman convincingly and go on a date. And based on what you do, it depends on the characters that go with you, but then later who you end up dating. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's harder to get certain characters. So the main two are Aerith and Tifa. And I had a big crush on Tifa. Even though I wanted him to be with Aerith, it had nothing to do with kind of the sentiment you see with a lot of like young girls who are fans of things where they're like, oh, they can't end up with this person. It was more like I just thought Aerith and him were a better couple. But I had a pretty big crush on Tifa, and Tifa was really cool. She was definitely sexualized. She is one of the characters that infamously has a huge like boob bouncing scene that is totally unnecessary, like completely unnecessary. And it's played for laughs for sure, because you can end up with, if you try really hard, you can end up with Barrett, who is like this big tough black guy, and it's very like comical in the game that you end up together, which is not cool. But I did I think that whole matching people in video games really did open the door for me, where I'm like, oh, they could be together, or they could be together. And I'm going to talk about that a bit more, because part of my, a lot of mine are not even I want to be with them. It's that I liked that they were together and they were gay.
Yeah.
That
makes sense.
Yes. So that's Final Fantasy VII, that one.
I remember when I was like, what is this? What movie is this? And I said, Fast and Furious 7? What? Yeah.
It's like, no.
I was so confused.
I should watch Fast and Furious 7 and see if there's anything going on.
I'm
going
to tell you no.
Okay.
Just no. Okay. Just automatically no.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So one of the movies that this is what I was referring to, that's the cast. I was like, yes, this cast, Constantine, because it is Rachel Weisz, Keanu Reeves, Tilda Swinton, and even Gavin Bush. Like, the four of them, yes. Just
that
yes.
That's a good pick. I'd forgotten about that movie until you said it, and I was like, oh, yeah.
The whole thing, because, like, first of all, Tilda Swinton in her own, like, non-binary self playing one of the archangels, coming down and giving wrath and hate, because loving that. And then having, you know, Gavin Bush being the devil that just slides away with his accent and bad acting and sly voice. Constantine, Keanu Reeves just coming in and out, being angry and dying all the time. Mm-hmm. And then Rachel Weisz, who they don't have the greatest chemistry, I will say this, which is also why I think I did like it, because it felt like they're not going to be together. I can like both of them, type of thing.
Right. Yeah, I loved that movie. I made my poor mom see it, and she hated it because she was... kind of religious. Yes, she's religious sure now, but also that's the movie. I think I've told this story before, but I ate a 64-ounce chocolate bar during it, and I threw up straight chocolate for over an hour.
Why did you eat a 64-ounce chocolate bar?
I don't know. Hard to say. It was foolish and embarrassing, but I paid the price for it, and I haven't done it since.
You surely did. You surely did.
Yes. But that's also when I learned to do the coin on the finger thing. Was from that movie. Yeah.
I love that movie. And I in a recent interview Keanu Reeves did, was literally saying that this is the one movie he wished he could have a second movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he has yet to be called.
I think they're doing something with it.
Apparently, there's another damn John Wick movie. So why can't we have another Constantine?
No, that's the call to action.
Come on.
For this.
Come on.
No, I can definitely see that one.
Yeah, that was the pick. I was like, yeah. I mean, we've talked about The Matrix, which I'm surprised wasn't on that other list, by the way.
Yeah. I think it did show up. It just didn't show up as much as the other.
How?
Yeah, I mean, that...
How?
I mean... Oof, it's one of my biggest crushes I've ever had.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, looking back for me, Star Wars, as I said.
Obviously.
Obviously. But I did want to say with the sequels, I've talked about this before, but the sequels, as much as I was kind of like iffy on them, it was one of the first times I've shipped a couple in a long time, and I was kind of surprised by it, which was Storm Pilot, Finn and Poe.
Oh, that's right.
It was kind of a brief. It like flared out really quickly, but I remember it because it was alongside when I was coming more to terms with, oh, you're asexual. Then what does it mean that I'm shipping? Like, I was kind of like, what's going on here? So that was an interesting experience. And then as I said, I write / fan fiction now, and I'm not sure. I don't know. I've got a lot to think about still. But one of the things I sent you that kind of cracks me up is this movie, little known movie. I think it went straight to video, called Gold Diggers, The Secret of Bear Mountain. This movie, I don't know what was going on in my life that I loved this movie so much. But the plot is like, it's a very, you've got your city girl and she has to move to the country. And there's talk of this troublemaker and they become friends. Christina Ricci is the city girl. Anna Chlumsky is the kind of mountain girl. And they become unlikely friends. It is a very, like, looking back, a pretty dark plot, because Anna Chlumsky's father is abusive, and, like, you actually see it happen. Her mother ends up in the hospital. She has injuries. There's, like, a near-drowning scene that still sticks with me. But I remember being pretty young watching this. I got 8 or 9, I think. And I wanted them to kiss. I remember very clearly. I just was like, this is it. I mean, I feel like they should kiss, and they're perfect for each other. And it was sort of the, I never would have at that moment said, oh, you're gay. But I just remember thinking, oh, I want them to kiss so bad.
I feel like Christina Ricci may be a poster girl for so many movies like that. Because she was also in Now and Then, which they like, they never pretend like any of them are lesbians, but it definitely has like Rosie O'Donnell, Demi Moore, all of them. And there's this aspect of these, like, the girls being so close that it kind of would make sense. Now and Then is probably one of my favorite movies growing up. But, like, I'm thinking about so many of the things, because also, like, Sleepy Hollow, you kind of, like, she, not that you want her to be with another girl, but she's, she feels like she's built for other women more so than men. I don't know. Like, is there, like, am I being odd about this? Yes, I am. That's
no, I mean,
the word.
I can't specify why, because it's not like I hadn't seen movies that had two girls in them that were best friends, and I hadn't been like, oh, they should make out. This one in specific, either the time was right. I haven't seen this movie in forever, so I can't say. Maybe there was some vibe going on that I was picking up on.
I don't know. Christina Ricci, I think it might be her.
But also, one of the things that, and this, I think I had not, I hadn't even discovered fan fiction yet, but it was right around the corner.
it was coming.
But one of the things that I really enjoy, that can be platonic and should be platonic, but also can be romantic and should be romantic, is I love, like, when people just fiercely care about each other. Like, I love, like, kind of that protective,
I do too.
I'm with you, I'm going to protect you. And I feel like that's sort of what was going on here, is that they were both very protective of each other.
I can see that.
Yeah, that's definitely one of my things.
Again, Now and Then was close to that as well. I think I would go to that as well.
Well, my final one I've already talked about, and that was Black Swan. And I wanted to mention it because it was the first time in my entire life I ever had a sex dream, was after I saw that movie.
That's right.
I was like, oh. Ooh. Natalie Portman did show up on a lot of people's list.
I was trying to think if she ever made my list, because I saw Black Swan coming up, like, and being like, ooh, no. Because I saw her in, where she's pregnant. Oh, no, her first movie I saw her was The Professional.
Yeah.
Which makes me sad looking back on it, because she was really mistreated. But I did love that movie. And now I'm like, oh, no, that's awful. But then, like, the movie,
Where the Heart Is?
Yes, that, yeah. Which I read the book first. Uh-huh. And she was so, I thought she was such a bad actor. In it, that I was like, nope.
I kind of had a crush on her as Padme.
I assumed you did. I thought that's what you were talking about when you were talking about, like, prequels and sequels.
No. But I think, again, I don't think I would have ever, I just assumed I wasn't gay, and it kind of breaks my heart now.
Right.
But I just assumed I wasn't. So I think I was more like, oh, she's a really cool, and I did find her very attractive. But I think it was more like, I thought it was appreciating, oh, she's a beautiful woman, and look at this fashion, and she's like our lead character.
Right. Was Cate Blanchett on any of the list? Because I would assume, like, the Thor.
I didn't see any of that. But
her,
honestly,
playing that character would put her up there.
I didn't. If listeners, again, please send in your thoughts.
Yes.
But because I didn't find as much as I thought I would, and it's perhaps I wasn't entering the correct Google search. But I didn't. I don't think, because I would have included that.
Right.
I don't think I saw that one. But I mean,
I mean, between her and Tessa Thompson, I would have assumed the two of them would have been on that list.
Yes. I thought there would be more Tessa Thompson Because she was definitely, but at that point, I already knew I was queer. So I was like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'm like, maybe it's just all the old movies. Because I would have, like I said, thought that especially Thor Ragnarok would have been pretty high on that list. Because the two of them really just kind of carried.
Yeah. That would be interesting to compare sort of, you know, younger generations versus older generations. Because that might show up like maybe a decade from now on people's list. Who haven't, you know, realized that they're queer yet.
Figuring it out.
Yeah. Yes, that'll be interesting. And again, please send in your suggestions. But also, this was when you're attracted to someone that doesn't necessarily at all mean you're gay. But we were just having kind of this conversation about when you start to think maybe.
At this point, it's like, oh, this makes sense.
Right.
But you're like, oh.
Like for me, it was X-Files. And for not just me, it was X-Files. But a lot of people did say, this is when I realized.
Right.
So it's not, it doesn't have to be that, but it has been that for a lot of people.
And then for us, it's just like questioning. Because it could be like, oh, that, I can see it. Mm-hmm. Having that moment too.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I'm going to, after we're done, I'm going to have this whole epiphany of so many more. But I feel like Gold Digger's The Secret of Bear Mountain was that was gold. Like remembering that one.
Between you and I, maybe with the Who Framed Roger Rabbit moments, it's like, okay, keep that in the interesting box.
Yes, I love it. I love it. I mean, I have on my phone, because I'm a total nerd, the list of all the crushes I've had in my life. And some of them are outright embarrassing in their cartoons. And it's like, what was going on here? But yes, we would love to hear from you about this, listeners. And we will return with our regular Feminist Movie Wednesday, Friday, unfeminist movie, perhaps, next month. But in the meantime, if you have any suggestions, if you have any thoughts about this, any examples of your own, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at stephaniamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at Momstuff Podcast or on Instagram and TikTok at Stuff We Never Told You. We're also on YouTube. We have a Tee Public store with new merchandise now, including a Disco Annie shirt. It's pretty cool. And we also have a book that you can pre-order at stuffyoushouldreadbooks.com. Apparently, you can get it on Audible now, too.
Yes. You can't listen to it yet, but you can pre-order it if you are so inclined.
Yes, if you are so inclined, then we would appreciate it. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
I have to know if they've heard of any of these movies. Have y'all heard of any of these movies? Because y'all are youngins.
Yes. What are your examples?
Maybe Constantine, but I'm like, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Do they know about this movie?
We've got to know. Please write in. Yes. And thanks to you listeners for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise, all things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.